Hello there, and thanks for tuning in to this episode on City Girls Farm. This is Rami, and I'm your host for this episode. We have lots of good stuff for you here. Our main guest is Amy McIntyre of City Girls Farm. She's one of the owners with her husband, John. We did a fun interview back in season one, and this is a great update. They went from 3 goats to 11. One of the most interesting developments you'll hear about in this interview is the new service line, Goatscaping. But first, let's check out our fun fuel with Jensen.
Hey guys, this is Jensen with your fun fuel for this week's episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about the history of goats as farm animals. Goats were introduced to North America in the 16th century by Spanish colonists. For hundreds of years, the Spanish goat was a source of milk and meat, but goats did not become an agricultural commodity the way that sheep, cattle, pigs, and chickens did. Many of the original Spanish goats became feral, populating parts of what would become the United States. For most of the United States history, dairy goats were utilized by small family farms as a personal source of milk and cheese. In the early 1930s, goat milk started to find a market as an alternative dairy product for those who had allergies to cow's milk. In the 1970s, the goat became a perfect farm animal for homesteaders who embraced sustainable agricultural practices. Goats do not take up as much space or require as much feed as other cattle. By the 1980s, goat milk and goat cheese were sought by consumers as gourmet items. The dairy goat industry has continued steady growth since the 1980s. As of 2013, more than 30,000 farms in the country raise goat milk. In addition to a variety of different cheeses, goat milk is used to make yogurt and even ice cream, and it often serves as feed for other animals. Crazy, I didn't even know that. Well, this is Jensen, and this was your fun fuel for this week's episode. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Jensen. You always do such informative fun fuels. Let's keep on rolling with the goats and jump right over to my conversation with Amy at the farm.
Catch up. We interviewed you, gosh, now that was season one that we interviewed you.
So it was 2015, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so you had the 3 goats at the time when I came to your shop. And so I wanted to catch up because you've gone through all of this expansion of your services. And so let's start. We know you changed your name from City Girls Soap to City Girls, is it Farm, Amy?
Yes, it was more of a rebranding. It was so because City Girl Soap, obviously, it's like, oh, bath and body products for the home. And then we realized as we were thinking about expanding and what else we could do using all these goats, which we now have 11. And we were, you know, talking about after we had done our internship with the kids and everything. And we thought, you know, if we rebrand to City Girls Farm and then City Girls Soap becomes a subsidiary of it, then City Girls Farm is like a one-stop shop where you can get to all things City Girls. So that's kind of what we started thinking about early in 2016 and then really got it going in like third quarter 2016.
Nice. And do you feel that that better captures the essence of what you're doing now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. It's because we always wanted to be so much more than just soap and lotion, and that was the wonderful thing that allowed us to get our foot in the door and to start showing the way you can use agriculture as a viable industry outside of traditionally what we think of it as being. And to be a farm, I mean, you know, farms were the gathering places of the community when the United States was so agrarian. And so it kind of being in Pontiac by being City Girls Farm, it kind of brings it back to gathering place, businesses run out of the gathering place, but a place where people and children can come and learn about everything we're doing. So what we have to do in the first quarter of this year is actually complete the Getting City Girls soap to be under it. And, you know, it goes to social media, like our Facebook page has to become City Girls Farm. And how do we do that without losing our followers?
Right.
So it's kind of tricky, but it's time consuming, but doable, easily doable.
Yeah, over time. And I can get, we've had some name changes too here at Gingrass Global and some merges of some of our sub LLCs into one. And you have to release yourself that sometimes people are just going to find you on an old, you know, Bloomberg or somewhere
right.
for 6 years ago under the old one. I was getting annoyed, like, this needs to be fixed, and I released that. It doesn't. It'll all sort
right.
out at the end.
Yeah, it will. Well, it will.
That's exciting. So three goats up to 11. Now, I know some of them had babies, right? And tell me about how you went from three to 11. Did you purchase more, or was it all from breeding?
No, so we had, so when we had first talked, we had three, and then they had babies, I think. I've lost track of time. Anyways, we were at five, and then last year in late April of 2016, our two does kitted, which means they had their babies, and we literally doubled, we like to say we doubled the goat population of Pontiac, Michigan in 2 days because one of our does had twins, and then our other doe, Winnie, had quadruplets.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all named for the historical figures featured in the musical Hamilton this year. So we literally have Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, George Washington, Hercules Mulligan, and then Angelica and Eliza Schuyler. And those are all the babies.
Oh, my gosh, that's classic. That's so funny, because weren't the first goats after, was it Footloose, the movie Footloose?
No, the first goats were Thor and Loki, so Norse gods, and Iris and Ladybug, which are just, you know, happy girl goat names.
Oh, okay. I don't know where I got that. Okay. All right. We'll try
that. Oh, so, because we have Wren, our big goat, Wren.
Yeah.
That's the guy from Footloose, but
it's
also a bird.
That's right. Okay, that's where I got it. I don't know where that got in my head. Okay. Well, I love it. How fun. Okay. And then I know, I remember talking to you, it was not that long ago when you were starting to experiment with, gosh, what else can I do with the guys, the male goats,
mm-hmm.
because the girls, of course, can produce milk that you can make your products from. But then you found this other use for the male
mm-hmm.
goats with this goatscaping.
Yes.
You did try some of that, right?
We actually did. So after it was very interesting because after the does had the babies, all of a sudden we had four males. And what's interesting in animal husbandry or livestock farming, what have you, is that literally the males have no value. We were texting people as the babies were being born, and we said, oh, it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. So we had four boys, and then all of a sudden the two girls, and people would text back, oh, I'm sorry, it was a boy. And you're sitting there going, here's this adorable little animal that you helped be born, and the fine line between human and thinking they're cute and cuddly, and then farmer, where you're sitting there going, this is something that's going to eat, and I need to get a product from it, because, or else it's just throwing money out the window to feed an animal that doesn't give you a product. So my husband, John, said, oh, well, okay, now we literally have enough goats where we can do trial segments of goatscaping, where they go out and clear, you know, overgrown vacant lots, or we're really finding that there's an interest in using them for a bio remediation of like invasive species without pouring poison into our land, which eventually goes into the water. You can use goats and sheep to do a pretty form of aggressive invasive species eradication program.
And so just in case people aren't familiar with the terminology, what would be bioremediation of invasive species?
Oh, it's It's basically using animals to eat plants that aren't supposed to be in our state. For example, the state of Michigan, there are things that we see every day that aren't supposed to be here. Like there's a shrub called autumn olive. It's invasive to Michigan, and they can either put out something into the ground that kills other plants that are native to the state, or they can take the sunlight from plants that are native to the state. So a biologically safe way to do it is using animals as opposed to chemicals. So that's kind of what it is. And then the invasive species, sadly, there's a list as long as your arm of things that have been brought here that aren't supposed to be here, that are killing what truly belongs in the state historically.
Oh, nuts. Okay. Well,
yeah.
What a great alternative. And then it gives you a way to feed them.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also community outreach. When we did a couple jobs in the city of Pontiac this summer, I mean, we always make sure we have some of the young goats with us because we encourage and invite, you know, the neighbors to come by with their children and with their grandchildren who have never been around these amazing creatures that are capable of doing so much, but also just like want to be scratched. And it's a great way to, it's like breaking the ice in your neighborhood. It's opening conversation through cuteness,
right.
You know, so it's pretty fun.
Might seem like such a silly question, but I know where you're located and I know a lot about Pontiac. How do you keep the goats from, you know, running away? They're sort of a funny bunch.
Yeah. Well, when they're working, we have solar-powered portable fencing.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so we have solar-charged portable fencing that gives a really nice shock. I unfortunately tested it by myself without meaning to. But that's how we keep them in. And I can turn it off and on. So if there are children that want to meet the goats, once they've gotten zapped once, they learn to respect the perimeters. So it's okay. Not like they're actively trying to get out. And so that's how any organization that does this, and this is a very, very popular method of controlling brush on the east and west coast, and it's just not something that's used a lot in the Midwest yet. And then when they're on site in Pontiac, I mean, it's fenced in like a regular farm. And we actually acquired a livestock guardian dog last year named Gus, who protects all the animals at night.
Oh, wow, I love it. So
yeah.
What were some of the comments from trying that last summer? Were they amazed? I guess I want to know, really, were they amazed at how fast these goats cleared? I'm amazed at that.
There was that. But I have to say, too, there was also sometimes a sense of urgency, like, why are we not seeing this happen faster? Because they are browsers. So it's like at their big goat buffet, and they go from one plant to the other to the other. And if they see someone's eating something, then they all zip over there. So that's why, it's really cute. And so we as humans are so used to, we live in a world where it's, I want it now, it needs to happen now. And this is a very effective but peaceful method of clearing land. And so you kind of have to, like, it's like going on vacation where it takes a couple of days to decompress, and then all of a sudden you have a different life where you're just relaxed and you just kind of go with the flow. And it's the same with goatscaping. Once you realize that they will get the job done, but it's in a cyclical pattern, and it has longer lasting effects than poison, People catch on to it. And there is definitely the whole movement in our world of trying to get away from using chemicals and know your farmer, know your food. It's not going away. And it's an ideology, I think, that's going to stay with us as we move forward. And so this fits in perfectly.
Yeah, I love this idea. They might stop and play. You know.
Yeah. Well, and they sit down and let their food, you know, digest, and they just lay in the sun, and then they get up and they start eating again. So we're yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. It just takes a bit of learning. Yeah, how dare we be so controlling, right?
Yeah. You, some things you just can't control, you know.
Animals and humans, I just feel like
that's a bad
Well, that's exciting. So we found a use for the guys, if you will, that they're a huge value to. So then what's the mix of the 11? So there's still, is there still four males or?
So I have to think. Okay, so it's Winnie, Iris, Sophie, Angelica, Eliza. So, pardon me, six males, five females.
Okay, well, that's things got to be getting fun over there at your place.
You know, it is. It is fun, and it's sometimes. I mean, it's just been me still, and my husband works on the weekends with us. And we've always known in our life and when we started this company that, you know, we've always been here for our kids. And then as soon as the kids were gone, we're like, then we can literally, you know, just 190% do this. And so our daughter is graduating in May from high school. And then we're going to sell our house, move to Pontiac, become a part of the community in which our business is. And then we think this is the point at which we can just launch all of this. And there's enough interest out there that I'm actually not concerned. And when I think about growing our business in this avenue, it just feels right. And we've worked really, really hard. So we're not doing this on just, you know, like, oh, this will be fun. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, but I just think the timing, it's coming together perfectly.
You know, there's something... You just hit on something that I have found out to be a real truth over the last, especially the last 12 months. There's, and I think this is especially true if you're working in any sort of under-resourced community where most of us who do social enterprise work are working in under-resourced communities. There's an element there of, I don't know, of trust building that you're going to be around for a little bit. It's the opposite of what I used to see. You got to come out. You got to get big to survive. There's a little bit of the opposite of building trust that you're real, you're truthful, you're going to try to work hard, that you're not going anywhere. There's a little bit of a respect thing that can take a few years to develop.
Yeah.
You're definitely there. That's so interesting you just said that because that has never been more clear to me than most recently. But the truth of that, it's not necessarily the big giant office or achieving the big vision that you once had, because that is always in play. You're always moving towards that. But there's a respect of your community that I think people forget to honor sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there has to be that. I mean, because these towns that have these cities that have suffered economic hardships at the hands of large companies that came in, and when the economy turned, you know, they just bulldoze things over and they're gone. But the people can't leave, and they can't leave, or they won't leave, or it's their home. And so there is this innate protectiveness on their part of the community of, well, if you're coming in, like, you know, are you going to be a part of us, or are you going to come in, build, and then leave? And I think you have to, as a business, be respectful of that. I would never, you know, part of it, it's always about just, you know, that's why we say, you know, through goats, anything is possible, because just because it's the icebreaker, and it's the ability to chat and be like, this is what we're doing. And then you get that, well, that's cool. It's happening in my city. Who would have ever thought we'd see this? And it's like, well, you know, we're going to be here. So,
yeah,
I think it's important.
Yeah. So you're, and when did City Girls start? Around 2012, was it that you started?
Yeah. We actually got picked up by some grocery stores in 2012. Yeah, and then had been, you know, gotten to some more and had been fleshing out all the other things short of, you know, doing a dairy. That was the one thing that we've decided to stay away from just because there's too much inherent risk in it. And there are a lot more things we can do that are revenue generators, but also give back to the community and also are less stressful than trying to run a dairy.
Yeah.
So that's the one goat thing that's not on the table.
Okay. So that's interesting because you were toying with that last time we talked.
We were. We were. And, you know, and when Johnny got sick in 2015, that was the one thing we took off the table. I mean, your knee-jerk reaction when there's like a crisis in your family is I think you look at the thing and you think could be causing the most stress and you think, well, of course, we're going to shut it all down. And then you calm down, step back and go, no, we love this. We're committed to this. But if you look at everything you've talked about doing, you're going to recognize the one thing that doesn't fit, that isn't going to be a part of it. And I think as long as you can pivot, stay true to the original concept and be able to say, I need to let this go. It just doesn't fit. I mean, in some way, you know, does that make you smarter? I think it does.
Right. That's a good word to share with everyone because you don't always need to cut off your arm despite the bruise you just got, right? Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good word. Yeah. So let's transition a little bit because I want to make sure I have time to just get a quick update on your products then. So you were making the soap from the goat milk. And then you have this great lotion. I'm in love with your lotion that you
Thank
make.
You.
Are you still making the lotion?
Absolutely. So we're still making the lotion. It's actually become one of our biggest sellers when we're at market or shows or events. We're trying to figure out how we can wholesale it because it's such a lovely product. But because it has goat's milk in it, you know, it's not a product that can sit in your cupboard for a couple of years and then you go back to it and think, oh, here's some lotion. I mean, it's time sensitive. So we're figuring out how do we get the word out about this. So that's something we're working on. But right now our direct marketing to our customers at Eastern Market is working out really well with that. And then we tried to make a liquid soap and I stepped back from that because it was too hard. But now we're going to make bath soaks. So it's going to be like a pretty heat-sealed tea bag with goat's milk in it and shea butter and lavender buds that you can drop in the tub and just take a goat's milk soak. So that's one of the new products we're going to roll out. And then we also started making goat's milk soy candles at the holidays.
Oh, wow. They smell so good. If anyone's ever in Pontiac and you want to stop by Amy's place, the smells in there are amazing with all of the different fragrances. Well, that's exciting, Amy, that you're launching that. So, gosh, you've got something for all the goats to do now. They can either goatscape, make babies, and produce this milk that gets put into all these amazing products. So I just have to make a comment on the product for a second. You and I were sitting within a bigger meeting one time and someone made a comment of like, I love the soap, but it doesn't last, you know, for 6 months. And I'll never forget you making this comment to this thing that makes me laugh. You go, well, that's because it doesn't have chemicals in it and those chemicals aren't going in your body. And there was silence in the room. I think there was about 10 or 12 people in there. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
There was like this silent, thoughtful recognition of like, oh, wow. And they, you know they were thinking at that minute about the soap that was in their bath or shower for the last year or whatever.
Absolutely. And you can pronounce everything that's in our product. I mean, you look at regular products and it's like you can't pronounce half of the ingredients. So
right.
I do remember that.
Right. I just had such a learning moment, too. Even though I was already a supporter, I got to tell you, it made me rethink of everything, lotion, everything I'm putting on my skin, you know. So anyway, that just made me laugh. That'll forever be burned in my memory when you said that.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but.
Well, I like it that you're coming out with more products, I guess, because they are so good and gentle for, and so many people need gentle stuff. The world can be kind of rough sometimes, so.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you about the last great thing that you were doing. You were bringing in some intern students from the local high schools. to have an experience there. Is that still part of your enterprise?
So we did not get funding for an internship in 2016. And that was interesting. We had gone back to the people who had funded our internship in 2015, and they never even answered our email. So that's one of those pivot moments where you go, you know what? It's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll make it work. So actually, in fourth quarter of 2016, we hired one of our interns back as an employee. And she's delightful and was, you know, we were able to do about 10 hours a week, but she, and it's interesting because she doesn't want anything to do with the livestock. And I said, that's totally fine. I'm not hiring you to do that. I'm hiring you to do, make specific products for us. And it's always amazing to see, you know, young women, the pride that comes from job well done, from seeing something you've made sell out at a market, from being able to talk about how you make it to your customers at a market. So hopefully we can expand upon that this year. We are going to be seeking investment in the company, and part of that investment would be to actually, you know, higher, like, you know, right now we were able to do, you know, 10 hours or so a week, and I want to be able to create, you know, two jobs at 10 hours a week or one job at 20 hours a week. Either way, our goal is to create more jobs in 2017 because we're going to need it.
Yeah, and you've laid all this incredible foundation, and as you mentioned, your personal life is starting to get right in alignment with what the vision always was. So this is, it's going to be an exciting year for you, and I know you're so swamped, and I just wanted to thank you, Amy, for taking time to get back on the podcast here and give us an update, and I hope this keeps going for years and years, that we stay walking alongside you.
Absolutely, thank you. And everybody's always welcome to Pontiac to come hug a goat.
Yeah, listeners, if you can make your way to Pontiac, Michigan, which is just north of the Detroit area. Most people know where Detroit is in Michigan. It's just about, what would we say? I always say a half hour, but to me everything's a half hour.
Yeah, I would say it's about 35 miles north of Detroit. It's the next big city up the highway.
Yeah. And so it's also very, very, very urban. And in some of the areas, very under-resourced, just similar to Detroit, but smaller. So, yeah, anyone's welcome. If you're there, we can get a hold of Amy and give you a tour. You can meet the goats, all 11 now.
Well, and by the time this airs, we'll be having more in June. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'll follow up with you, too. I'll be coming by there soon, Amy, of course, in this investment conversation. But thank you for everything you and your husband are doing. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Amy, for making time again for our interview. Boy, Amy never ceases to amaze me with her love for these animals and the people of Pontiac. She's an incredibly hard worker, and I'm inspired once again. Okay. Please meet Capelli and Tim. They were introduced to us by our friends at Assemble Sound in Detroit. And this song is called All In. Until next time, keep those bonfires burning.
Watch me do it for the big screen. 100 miles an hour shifting in that 6-speed.
Trying to leave the past behind me. Trying to leave the past behind me.
G-Pro blowing and you know it's something special. Really shouldn't ride high, but it's all good if they don't catch you.
Trying to leave the past behind me. Trying to leave the past behind me.
I got big dreams. Watch me do it. Super mean. Ain't nothing to it. Homie, I'm all. Who gon' really stop me? Not nobody know. Not what the city got me. Watch me go. Late night city life, all in. Girl, you know we getting right, all in. And you can bring your friend along, all in.
situation, ease it. Good life living, I make that grind look easy.
I grind till I die, steady chasing the fame. Bend my nights in the studio with my life on display.
Interstellar stepping, I'm cloud kicking and sipping good. I got your lady loving lumber brush, she kissing wood. I got big dreams, watch me do it. Super mean, ain't nothing to it. Homie, I'm all in, who gon' really stop me? Not nobody know, not what the city got me. Watch me go. Late night city life, all in. Girl, you know we getting right. Bring your friend along, all in. And it's gonna be your favorite song, all in. We on that late night city light, all in. Girl, you know we getting right, all in. And you can bring your friend along, all in. And it's gonna be your favorite song, all in.
Your favorite song. We on that late night city.